Chapter 15. Back to Abnormal. Dad and Rachel didn't die in a plane crash, so he came to collect me on Monday evening. I was waiting on the platform when his train pulled in.
"Well, you look happy," he said.
"It's been good," I told him. He gave Uncle Gordon a vaguely perplexed look. Uncle Gordon touched two fingers to his forehead in salute. I think it was sarcasm. The train back to King's Cross departed 9 minutes later.
"Did you have a good time?" I asked, once we'd found our seats. They were pre-booked. I know it's Rachel who does that for him.
"Ate too much, drank too much, danced too much," he said with a grin. I smiled.
"Is that all?"
Dad's expression was funny. I suppose that's what I must look like when I'm trying to work out if someone's being ironic.
That's all I'm going to tell you about, yes."
He put a hand on my knee and squeezed fondly. "So, what did you two get up to?"
"Uncle Gordon's got a 3D printer. He makes all his own plastic ties and clips now."
"Sounds interesting."
"No, it doesn't, but I want one for Christmas. Please, Dad, you can print anything on them. They're the future."
"Okay, then. How expensive are they?"
"Depends what sort you get. I made a list for you."
"Of course you did." I didn't mention the catapult and box of ball bearings I'd packed in my suitcase. I'd practiced a lot over the weekend, and I was a really good shot now. I checked online, and the Olympics didn't have a catapult category, which was a shame. Everyone at St. George's would have been amazed if I'd represented the UK. That night, Dad and Rachel went to bed early. They were both tired, they said. I unpacked and put my dirty clothes in the laundry basket. The catapult went in my bedside cabinet, along with the ball bearings. Having it that close made me feel properly safe. If Vladimir broke in to massacre us, he'd be sorry. I had to wear two hoodies to go to Docklands on Tuesday. My catapult went into the pocket on the inside one. Then I zipped the outer one over it so nobody could see it. The internet gave me a long list of weapons you're not allowed to carry in the UK, like knives and hand claws, hollow kubatans, shuriken, throwing stars, kusari, all sorts of martial arts stuff, and no one under 18 is allowed to buy or carry air rifles and crossbows. But legally, catapults are classified as toys, which is really dumb. By Sunday evening, my shots were taking big chunks out of Uncle Gordon's marrows. I didn't want to chance a police officer or the office security people seeing it. If they did, they might use search and seizure laws and decide the catapult was an offensive weapon. So if I got arrested, it would be up to the court to decide if I had reasonable circumstances to be carrying a catapult. Which it was, obviously, but they'd have to know about Vladimir to understand that. That might be difficult for a stupid to accept. So even though it was midsummer, I wore two hoodies. I was very careful in Docklands. I got there early, 12 o'clock, and scouted Jubilee Park for any sign of Vladimir. I covered the broad walkway beside the water and checked the tube station twice. He wasn't there. After that, I relaxed a bit and hung around for Michael. At 12:38, Michael and three colleagues came strolling along, talking away about deals and reports. I decided to be very daring and walked straight for them, but in the opposite direction, so I actually passed him less than a meter away. He never noticed me, but I remembered this huge surge of emotion he experienced, so strong it took my breath away. Hardly surprising, considering what Giotti told him. I can feel my eyes watering right there in the middle of the Chinese restaurant,
and I don't care. What? I ask in a real croaky voice. Giotti smiles at me across the table. She looks amazing, wearing a purple satin dress that clings to her like static, light glinting off her gold necklace. She never needs to wear much makeup. She's so naturally beautiful. But she's dusted on a few highlights so that she looks especially gorgeous tonight. Blue line, she says with a mischievous glint in her eyes. No mistake.
You mean, really?
Yes. I'm pregnant. I reach over the table and grip both her hands and kiss her.
Really?
She laughs at how foolish I am.
Yes, the tests are pretty much infallible. I took 3.
You're pregnant?
Yes.
She gives me a concerned look.
You're not upset, are you? I know this isn't quite the sequence of events we had in mind.
The best thing that's ever happened to me, apart from you. She laughs again.
So, big question.
What?
Do we bring the wedding forward?
Oh, hell, your parents.
They're not that bad.
No, but, oh, whatever.
Yes, let's do it. Let's get married right away. Hey, we could do Vegas.
OMG, you did not just say that.
Yes, I did.
Come on, how many people do you know who've actually done that?
She giggles delightedly.
It's crazy. Nobody does Vegas.
So we will. It'll be special and unique.
Mike!
But I can see she is intrigued by the idea. It is such a magical meal. My brain is melting out of my ears. I am being deliriously stupid, I'm so happy. Having a baby together will be utterly wonderful. She'll be a perfect mother. If it's a boy, I can take him to Arsenal matches with me.
Don't say that out loud.
But is it a boy?
She rolls her eyes.
You have to have a scan to know that. It's way too early.
Oh, right.
Do you mind, witch?
Wait, are you thinking about taking a boy to football matches?
No.
Her mouth makes a great big O and she throws her napkin at me.
Michael Finson, you were.
Well, maybe a little. She laughs hysterically. I don't know what we eat. I don't taste any of it. Not this night. And I swear off alcohol for the whole pregnancy to be supportive. We only just make the theatre in time, and the ushers never let you in after the performance starts. Opening night of Nobody's Freedom, too. The tickets cost me a fortune. It's about a funny dystopian world in the future or something. At least I think it's a comedy. Joe Brand is in it. But I'm not watching. I just sit there with my arm around Giotti, staring at her, until she tells me to stop. But I can't. She is my world. I'm going to be a dad. I was giddy all the way back to Islington. All Michael's emotions were reverberating round inside my skull like waves of chaos. They were so strong. I could believe I was in love with Giotto too, and a baby is on the way, which is genuinely wonderful. Just thinking about that made me smile like some gormless stupid. Seriously weird. When I got back to the flat, I had to sit down and try to get my head calm. That turned out to be uncomfortably easy. I thought about what Vladimir would do when he found out, and my skin went cold. He'd gone full digital berserk just from Big Russell's innocuous deflection message. He was off the map psycho territory. I opened the MacBook
and looked up when the opening night for Nobody's Freedom was. I said seeing Vladimir at Jubilee Park was frightening. I was wrong. That was nothing, not compared to this. The opening night for Nobody's Freedom was tomorrow.